daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the fact that two of the highest ranking retired military officers in the country, both of them people who are very close to the centers of power, former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chair Mike Mullen and the former Secretary of Defense, General James Mattis, Marine Corps General. They've both issued blistering statements criticizing President Trump. It raises all kinds of issues. There are demonstrations around the world concerning the death of George Floyd. And in fact, there are very real fears that at this time of weakened focus, China will take advantage of America's distractions to consolidate its power over not only Hong Kong, but Taiwan. What do we do? What does our situation mean for America's position in the world? Nobody better to speak with for me about that than Ralph Peters. He is a retired lieutenant colonel in the United States Army, author of 29 books, including most recently Darkness at Chancellorsville, a novel of Stonewall Jackson's triumph and tragedy. Now, okay, before we get into the question of America's position in the world, your books make the Civil War come alive to such a great extent. And I by the way, I highly recommend the book Darkness at Chancellorsville. It's posted on our website at michaelmedved.com. Right now, Ralph, there are Confederate statues, those that remain that are being removed and removed promptly. Do you think that's appropriate?
I think it's a very poor idea in the long term, because my views are shaped by having studied the Soviet Union and communist dictatorships much of my adult life. And when you start trying to erase history, when you start trying to emplace one historical narrative in favor of another one to please a certain group of people, and you forget objective history, you're in trouble. Now, with the Civil War, I'm a Yankee through and through in my sentiments. But when I write about it, I have to suspend that and try to understand both sides. And with the Civil War, I find that it's often invoked for various reasons by left and right, always by people who have no idea of the social complexity behind that war. For them, it's usually a one-issue matter. With the statues coming down, I think you're dispossessing one group of its heritage to favor another. It's probably inevitable in these politically correct times. I am not a big fan of Confederate generals. But just beware, because when you tear down one group's statues today, if in power tomorrow, that group's going to tear down your statues. And I think we all need to stop politicizing everything. And, you know, your shoelaces are probably politicized at this point. We need to remember we're all Americans. Try a little bit of education and understanding before we shoot off our mouths. And really, maybe listen to the other guy a little bit.
Do you believe that America's position in the world is in jeopardy because of some of the deep, deep divisions in our country that are so apparent right now?
I think, you know, it's a natural tendency in the media to exaggerate things. Now, you don't, and I give you great credit for that. Many people do. America's not about to collapse. Our international position is not gravely threatened, but real damage has been done. President Trump has alienated our closest traditional allies while pandering to people like President Xi, who certainly stuck it to us and the world over the coronavirus, or to Vladimir Putin. So my feeling is this. The next president, and if President Trump is replaced in November, the next president, whoever that may be, is going to come to the office with tremendous international goodwill. He's going to have a real honeymoon period to mend the things were broken unnecessarily. Now, as for China, you mentioned China. We've got to take a realistic approach to China. China will always be trying to undercut us, to do mischief. I don't worry about them taking military action against Taiwan or even Hong Kong at present while we're distracted, because at the end of the day, the Chinese do respect our strength and especially our military strength. So these are perilous times. They're dramatic times, but I have tremendous confidence in the long-term future of the United States. And I tell people, when people say, oh, things are terrible here, they're awful, wait a minute. You don't know the world. This is still the best deal going. And even when it comes to the military, you know, you can criticize our military for this or that, but, you know, you just have to be better than the other guy. And we're far better than all of the other guys.
Why do you think, and that recognition is very clear, they ran a piece in the New York Times today where they were interviewing some of the demonstrators around the world and trying to figure out why they were demonstrating against America and marching on U.S. embassies. I mean, I think it's in 60 countries now. There have been George Floyd demonstrations. Why do you think these demonstrations, this incident, has inspired this kind of worldwide response, Ralph Peters?
Well, I think there are several very real reasons that we can identify. The first one is the video. I mean, you don't need a soundtrack for that one. Even if you can't hear him saying, I can't breathe, George Floyd is being tortured and then murdered before our eyes. So I think the shock effect of that in this postmodern era was incredible. But as far as the demonstrations abroad go, in Europe and elsewhere, I think they're motivated by several things. One, the shocking video. It did shock people. Two, there's always a sense that, especially like people like the Germans, they've got so much on their consciences, they need to believe that we're as bad as they are. A third factor, and a very powerful one, is, again, whether you love President Trump or hate him, it's an incontrovertible fact that he has alienated populations around the world. America is not despised. Trump is truly despised. So I think more people came out because Trump is the American president. These demonstrations, yeah, they're for George Floyd, but I think they're also largely anti-Trump. So I think you've got several things in play right now. But it all does come back to the fact that the world saw an American policeman torture and murder a black American in that video. And, you know, what can I say? I mean, I'm appalled. Every decent man and woman has to be appalled by that. Now, I do tell people, let's remember that the vast majority of policemen or policewomen are defending us daily. They're underpaid, they're overworked, they're incredibly stressed, and they still do a great job for us in our communities. So I am upset that we all know George Floyd's name. Who can tell me the name of any of the policemen who were killed and ambushed over the last week? We don't know their names, and we should.
That's profoundly important, and I think spot on. Ralph Peters, keep on keeping on, and I appreciate your perspective on so many of the issues that we have. I'm going to get to these twin attacks by a high-ranking admiral in the Navy and a very high-ranking Marine Corps general and former Secretary of Defense, both of whom just let President Trump have it in public statements, warning about a danger to the Constitution. Do we pay any attention to James Mattis and Mike Mullen? We'll get to that and more on The Michael Medved Show.
Become a Medhead and receive 50% off History Store downloads for all annual members. Join today at michaelmedved.com.
there are so many on the Michael Medved show, there are so many controversies and so little time. I will get to Admiral Mullen and to General Mattis in a few moments. But first, an even more formidable combination. How about Drew Brees and Russell Wilson, two of the greatest quarterbacks in the National Football League? Okay, there is controversy now, and it's shocking to me, involving Drew Brees because he did an interview with Yahoo Finance. And with everything that's going on in our country, of course, there's a lot of reconsideration of Colin Kaepernick as a hero. And in fact, there are police officers who have taken a knee in a way of trying. Now, this is not while the national anthem is playing or anything like that, but it's part of the idea of showing, oh, we support the Black Lives Matter movement. So Drew Brees, in an interview with Yahoo Finance, didn't attack the Black Lives Matter movement, not at all. This extremely smart and obviously great athlete, American, actually talked about his family background and about honoring our flag and our anthem. But that's gotten him into trouble. Listen.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America, United States or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution.
Okay. That, it seems to me, is an exemplary, eloquent, smart, patriotic, and even sensitive statement to make. But he's attacked for it. He was attacked for it on CNN. Dante Stallworth has played for a whole series of teams. He started, actually, with the New Orleans Saints. But he's a retired player, and he was on with Don Lemon. And listen to the comments they make about Drew Brees, who, by the way, is a great philanthropist who has personally given $5 million to help people in the New Orleans area cope with the COVID-19 pandemic, where they've been very hard hit. Here's Dante Stallworth on CNN with Don Lemon.
Drew, I like him. I played a little bit with him. I love him. I think he's a good dude, a good father and a family guy. Obviously a great NFL player, but he's totally wrong on this. And if he actually listens to what the players have been saying from the very beginning, the players that are in his locker room, the players that he sees every day, the guys he hangs out with, the guys that he considers family and brothers, if he actually listens to them, he'll get to understand the real true reasons why, and not listen to the propaganda that has been propped up by the conservatives, the far, the right-wing media about this being anything about the anthem, about mm-hmm. this being anything about the flag, or even yeah. more despicable about yeah. being about the troops.
Yeah, because what Aaron Rodgers should know, Drew Brees should know, huge fan of his playing, have been for years, this has been very disappointing, is that the same, that's what his grandparents and relatives were fighting for. That's part of freedom of expression, is part of the Constitution. And those people, right. the people who fought in those wars, It was for the Constitution. And I don't understand Drew Brees, who has done so many good things in the past, especially with the money that he donated during COVID-19 and so on and so forth. I don't understand what he's not getting about this particular issue, and perhaps he can be educated on it.
He can be educated on it? How patronizing that is. How foolish that is. And by the way, I can assure you that the idea of with troops serving at the front, the idea of dishonoring the flag and the anthem, no, that would have not been something that would have been embraced by most of the people who were volunteering and being drafted to fight in World War II. There's something else, and it's in the world of sports, but it's highly relevant and very important, which is Russell Wilson speaks out on this. And Russell Wilson, who is, of course, a quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks and one of the great players in the game, he feels particularly close to Drew Brees because Drew Brees apparently, like Russell, is not someone of towering height. I think Russell and Drew Brees are both about 6 feet tall, which, you know, that's pretty tall. But, okay. He just spoke out, and Wilson offered a statement of be safe at a conclusion of a 33-minute Zoom session devoted to talking about the death of George Floyd. Wilson said, "I have a heavy heart over recent events that he said show racism is as real as it's ever been. It's staggering. I think that the reality is enough with this situation. The reality is that I think that we have to understand that Black lives do matter. It's a group of people who are being brutally murdered because of the color of their skin." And then he goes on and talks sympathetically about Colin Kaepernick. He says, "It's heavy on me because I think the reality is with Colin in particular, is he was trying to symbolize the right thing. People may have taken that the wrong way, but I think he was trying to do the right thing. Colin was trying to symbolize the oppression that was going on in America and has been for 400 years. This entire idea that Drew Brees should be canceled, as people say, because, and by the way, I know Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers look alike because they're both white, but the idea that Don Lemon called Drew Brees Aaron Rodgers, well, as distant as Wisconsin and Louisiana. But this whole debate, are we going to get back into this with renewed fervor? There's an athletic coach. She is the coach of the women's Huskies, the female basketball team for University of Washington. And she tweeted out some statements that are deemed to be hate speech today. What was it that Jody Wynn said that got her into a world of trouble? We'll get to that coming up on the MedVed Show. Michael Medved show, the retired Army general named John Allen has loaned his voice to, together with General Mattis and Admiral Mullen and other retired military. He said, "I watched with horror, frankly, as those young Americans were driven down the street by riot police with riot truncheons, tear gas, flashbangs, just to clear a path so that we could have a photo op. That is what happens in authoritarian regimes." We will get to that. I think a lot of this has become unfair and distorted, and a lot of it has to do with misleading media imagery. And boy, are we in a difficult situation. I was just checking on something, and You heard that Al Sharpton at the memorial service today in Minneapolis called for a new march on Washington. Now, the last march on Washington, to its enormous credit, did not involve any violence. The police, the authorities in Washington were very concerned about that. And people came. They listened to one of the great orations ever delivered anywhere by any human being, the I Have a Dream speech. And they helped put pressure on the U.S. Congress, which then responded by passing the next year the Civil Rights Bill, which was historic and made a very historic difference. Of course, the President of the United States was assassinated in between those two events. But, okay, there will be hundreds of thousands of people on this March on Washington. If it's not going to be like the Million Man March, which wasn't about anything. This is going to be about something. It's going to be an anti-police march. I think the chances for, God forbid, there should be any violence in Washington on August 28th. Here's the interesting thing. I don't know how we picked the date, but the Republican convention, the night before the march on Washington, President Trump is supposed to be delivering his acceptance speech for the nomination, if they have a Republican convention, wherever they have it. And again, all of this is assuming, I guess, that the pandemic is rolled back, that we don't have that dreaded second wave by then. And given the huge crowding at a lot of these demonstrations and with the looting and the rioting, I think the chances are excellent. Usually it takes about 2 weeks for people to develop the symptoms after they're infected. And the idea that by August, the end of August, we're going to be so secure and so happy and so finished with the virus that we don't have to worry about it. People are hoping we're going to get back to sports by then. I think they're starting, the NBA is starting up in July, is it? They just announced they're going to be resuming in July for the National Basketball Association. Okay. The ladies basketball coach, whose name is Jody Wynn, made a statement about equal rights and equal justice, and then she was forced to apologize for it. She actually deactivated her Twitter account. She was deluged with hatred and fury and anger. And there's even some speculation here in town at University of Washington. She might lose her job over this. Now, I'll read you what she originally tweeted. And it's pretty harsh. It's pretty tough. It's pretty outrageous. She said, "We must stand with our Black Americans and seek justice, exclamation point. Black, brown, yellow, all lives matter." Can you imagine she actually went there? She said, "All lives matter." Okay, this has become hate speech now. What's so unbelievable is that statement within hours was deleted. It was replaced with a new statement that said, "We must stand with our Black Americans and seek justice. Black lives matter." And then both statements included the assertion, "I see no color, never have." And then by 5 p.m. yesterday, she had released the following statement. "I would like to sincerely apologize for comments I made in a statement on Sunday night. The thoughts and emotions that I was feeling were not properly conveyed as I tried to express my deep care and concern, and I know that my words were hurtful to people of color. My message was to stand in support of the Black community and not to nullify the message we all need to hear. Black lives matter. I've learned a hard and important lesson in this moment and am committed to educating myself by first listening to our players, alumni, and the entire community on," she goes on, on how we can best create change, real change. I stand with Black Lives Matter and vow to use my platform to be a part of the change that is needed to collectively work together to end racism. Okay, never mind the fact that the team's done horribly under her coaching. They were 8-45 since she's been coach. The Lady Huskies have been 8-45 in Pac-10 play. Okay, a much more successful coach, Tony Dungy, the first African-American coach to win a Super Bowl. Remember with Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts? He was speaking on this this attempt to cancel Drew Brees and to get him into a world of trouble. And I think what he said was reasonable and right. Listen.
Who has to have those conversations, you think, Tony? Who?
We all have to have them. We have to have Drew Brees saying what he said. I don't downgrade Drew for that, okay? That's what he said. He may not totally understand. It may have been not exactly the way he wanted to express it, but he can't be afraid to say that. And we can't be afraid to say, okay, Drew, I don't agree with you, but let's talk about this and let's sit down and talk about it. We can't just say anytime something happens that we don't agree with, hey, I'm done with that and I'm done with this person, and that doesn't make sense. We have to be better than that. This battle is not going to be won by demonstrating and throwing bricks through windows. It's not going to be won by the government saying, hey, we're going to bring out these weapons and dominate the streets again. That is not going to fix anything.
Okay. Of course, brings up the last part. I don't think that President Trump's rhetoric about dominating the streets has played well. This is not going to be one of the things he wants to be remembered for. It hasn't played particularly well. But at least Tony Dungy is recognizing we need to talk about this. But what is remarkable to me, and again, we had this case in the world of sports yesterday. We were talking about it maybe 2 days ago with this guy, Greg Napier, who I do not know, who got canceled, who lost a job on TV, lost a job on radio, basically lost his career because he had tweeted "All Lives Matter." Is that now conjured to be? If somebody can explain this to me, why saying "All Lives Matter"? What if you say "Black Lives Matter" and "All Lives Matter"? If you say it separately, is that okay? Are you allowed to say "All Lives Matter"? How does that become hate speech? And where are we supposed to go from this? Look, some of it's understandable, but one of the things that just happened is in Philadelphia, they removed another statue. It's not of a Confederate. It's of a former mayor, former police chief. It was a statue put up in 20 years ago, not 50 years ago, with private funds. Why do they have to remove a statue of Mayor Rizzo? We'll get to that and more on the Medved Show. On the Michael Medved Show, Frank Rizzo was a folk hero to some people in Philadelphia, to other people in Philadelphia when he was police commissioner and mayor and two-term mayor. He was the worst human being imaginable. I think the verdict is, look, Frank Rizzo had a lot of problems. He said things that you're really not allowed to say today. At one point, one of the things that he was famous for saying is demonstrators were threatening to come into Philadelphia. This is when he was Philadelphia's top cop. And he was the son, by the way, of a police officer. A police officer was born in Italy. And he was another South Philadelphia boy. Again, I'm sympathetic to that because my dad was a South Philadelphia boy. And Frank Rizzo said to the demonstrators who were threatening to come in and close down his city, and it's kind of appropriate to what's happening to cities across the country. He said, if they come in and try to do that, I'm going to be so hard on them, I'm going to make Attila the Hun look like a, and he used the F word referring to a homosexual. Now, can you imagine someone, no, you can't imagine someone saying that. He also is alleged to be a terrible racist, and maybe he always had a certain level of black support in the city of brotherly love. And in any event, they put up a statue of him after he died suddenly, and it was after he had left office. And a number of his admirers took donations, and they put up a statue, and its statue has been standing for 20 years, maybe more, in front of the municipal administration building. Well, it's gone. It's just taken down. Goodbye. See you later, Frank. I wonder how the people who contributed to that now feel. Again, we're not talking about a Confederate hero who betrayed his country. Because, yes, that's what the Confederacy was. It was fighting against the United States. Do I believe that Frank Rizzo deserves posthumous admiration? No. But this is the moment that we live in, where it's not just going back and settling scores from the Civil War, it's going back to less than that. Frank Rizzo was an ally, even though he was a Democrat, he was an ally of Richard Nixon. As protests speaking out against racial injustice and police brutality spread across the nation, riots too, some Alabama Democratic lawmakers are demanding the state stop celebrating a holiday commemorating Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy. I did not know, I must confess, that in Alabama they actually still celebrated Jefferson Davis's birthday. The lawmakers are calling for the state to take steps to repeal a code that authorizes a holiday for Jefferson Davis, who was president of the Confederate States during the Civil War. The holiday was observed in Alabama on Monday. Great. Wonderful timing. As demonstrators gathered in cities throughout the U.S. in response to the death of George Floyd, an unarmed black man who died in police custody. Okay. I don't know if it's a public holiday in Alabama or not, but really, a Jefferson Davis? I mean, Jefferson Davis, you could say that Robert E. Lee made contributions after the war to bring peace and reconciliation. You can say that in his behalf. People will argue with you, but you can say it. There's not much to be said for Jefferson Davis. He, and by the way, he's not even from Alabama. He was from Mississippi. He took the oath of office in Montgomery, Alabama. But he governed in Richmond, Virginia, to the extent that the president of the Confederacy could govern over everything. The whole idea of changing the way we talk about our country, the way we talk about right and wrong. Most Americans believe that in trying to keep us safe and trying to establish order, the police deserve support. If you look at the Gallup poll, and they do this every year, what institutions do you have respect for? Police are always high on the list, not the top. Military is the top. But police are up there. But this is another story that makes me wonder about this country and whether it's even recognizable. New York Times reports a man in Washington, D.C. is being widely praised after he took in more than 70 protesters who were being pursued by police officers with pepper spray after breaking curfew on Monday night. Mayor Muriel Bowser, black Democrat, had issued a 7 p.m. curfew for Monday and Tuesday. And these people were not out at 7. They were not out at 8. They were out at 9:30. And Rahul Duby, 44, described the chaotic moments just before 9:30 p.m. when he opened the door of his Swan Street home near DuPont Circle to scrambling protesters. As soon as I heard the flashbang and the thudding of shields, I sprung open my door. Mr. Doobie said he works in healthcare. He said a tsunami of demonstrators came barreling through his front door seeking shelter, he said. And protesters began scattering to all three floors of his house. He took in 70 people into his house. Really? They were trying, three and four, to get through the little doorway, he said. Protesters were screaming and police were chasing after them, spraying pepper spray at the backs of their heads. The first hour and a half of that everyone was in here was pure mayhem. Okay, they are violating curfew. It is the law. It is the local black liberal Democratic mayor. Just if you go back deep into ancient history, say 4 weeks ago, if somebody had been violating a curfew or a rule involving the pandemic, involving COVID-19, would somebody be praised for opening his door if the police were trying to enforce social distancing and saying, no, you can't have this rally or this mass party or this mass meeting right now? This is all nuts. We will play later in the broadcast, because it's so astonishing. The director of public health for the state of Pennsylvania is named Rachel Levine, and she is a transgendered woman, and her name used to be Richard Levine. In any event, Rachel Levine gave a pronouncement that is unbelievable, which is that these demonstrations are so important that you have to put coronavirus COVID-19 aside. Really? Isn't that an existential threat to our economy and to our lives? And what is it that the demonstrations now are going to achieve that they haven't achieved already? The whole idea was no justice, no peace. Okay, now Keith Ellison has raised the level of indictment to second-degree murder. He's also indicted for second-degree manslaughter and for third-degree murder. Officer Chauvin could go to prison for 40 years, the rest of his life. Probably will. The three other officers who were indicted as accessories to second-degree murder, now two of them have totally clean records, no complaints against them until this. They will almost surely go to jail as well. And again, this is happening. And Keith Ellison was actually very good yesterday in letting people know it won't happen all of a sudden. They're not going to be convicted and jailed and punished right away. But they will. The justice system is working. So what is it more that needs to be done? Vice President Biden seems to be working on the assumption that we need a nationwide ban against chokeholds. Okay, I have no idea. I think, frankly, each police department should be allowed to make its own decisions. But so much of this is based on profound misinformation. People saying there is a genocide going on. The only genocide is the murder rate. And the murder is not being committed by white people against black people. The main victims of the 16,000 murders we have in this country, an actual majority of the 16,000 murders we have, it's black people who are victims, and nearly all of those people are victims of killing by other black people. The police play a role in making people safer. And this idea that we are now marching to defund police departments, this is insanity, not worthy of this greatest nation on God's green earth.